Howie Carr, a Boston Herald columnist and radio hitman.
Howie Carr is a columnist for the Boston Herald as well as a radio talk show host who has been a thorn in the side of Whitey Bulger and his gang for 20 years.
I was referred to today as 1970s Boston.
Howie is sort of an insidious force in this area.
Nothing gets you going in the morning like a good cup of Joe and a little Howie Carr, right?
Hey, paper boy.
It comes from the tabloid talk show stuff in Boston, and it was concocted there.
Live from sunny Florida,
Mar-a-Lago,
it's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show, 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. So people were saying they wanted some talk about the House Oversight Committee. That's James Comer, the Kentucky congressman, and he's been bringing people in from the Biden regime, the Biden junta, to be questioned under oath about what they knew about the fact that Joe Biden was a senile, corrupt vegetable for his entire term in office and had no idea what he was doing.
I'm not the president.
And today they published their final report on the investigation into the auto pen, concluding that at least some of the president's orders were invalid and calling on the Justice Department to investigate. This is what he said in a statement. The Biden auto pen presidency will go down as one of the biggest political scandals in U.S. history. As Americans saw President Biden's decline with their own eyes, Biden's inner circle sought to deceive the public, cover up his decline, and took unauthorized executive actions with the auto pen that are now invalid. Executive actions performed by the Biden White House staff and signed by AutoPen are null and void. We are calling on the U.S. Department of Justice to conduct a thorough review of these executive actions and scrutinize key Biden aides who took the fifth to hide their participation in the cover-up. I know. His doctor took the Fifth Amendment. It's doctor-client privilege, it's my Hippocratic oath. We have now provided Americans with transparency about the Biden auto pen presidency, and now there must be accountability. They said there was alarming deficiencies discovered in documentation and chain of custody for key presidential decisions. Chain of custody, there's that phrase again. It's like being back with the Mass State Police. In some cases, President Biden was only said to have approved certain actions verbally or without a clear record of the decision memorialized by his staff, according to the report. Neera Tanden, she's from Burlington, Mass. She said she had remarkably little interaction with the president, despite her responsibility to record presidential decisions and actions. She only saw the president once every 6 to 8 weeks. It's amazing. Biden's final chief of staff, Jeff Zients, told the Oversight Committee he had never seen any kind of decision memo outlining the use of the auto pen. Just pitiful. Just so pitiful. Let's play a little bit of this. This is a montage of people working for him, taking the Fifth Amendment. Cut 16.
We're watching the testimony of this woman here, Annie Tomasini. She's the former
from Boston.
Senior advisor
She's from
to
Boston.
President Joe Biden. She was the third person set to appear before James Comer's committee. She has now taken the Fifth. There is now a pattern of key Biden confidants seeking to shield themselves from criminal liability for this potential conspiracy.
Were you ever told to lie about the president's health?
The advice of counsel, I must respectfully decline to answer based upon physician-patient privilege and in reliance on my right under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution.
Let the record reflect that Dr. O'Connor has invoked the Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. Dr. O'Connor, did you ever believe the president was unfit to execute his duties as president?
And
we can tell you that you will have the same answer with respect to any questions that are asked.
Did any unelected official or family member of President Joe Biden execute the duties of the presidency?
Did Joe Biden, a member of his family, or anyone at the White House ever instruct you to lie regarding his health?
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer the question pursuant to my Fifth Amendment rights under the Constitution.
Is there an echo in here? Hunter Biden, crack addict, alcoholic, stripper chaser, bag man, sleeper with his sister-in-law. He was acting like the chief of staff. Cut 17.
And if that wasn't shocking enough, Dick Tapper claims Hunter Biden was basically acting like the chief of staff.
Hunter was driving the decision making for the family. He was almost like a chief of staff.
Did you notice an uptick ever when Hunter Biden was around?
Yes. Towards the end, I think he was living with the president.
So, but the Democrats didn't see anything wrong with this. None of them saw anything wrong with this. Cut 15.
And when it comes to President Biden's decline, the official word from Biden World about all these news stories is that nothing has been revealed this week that shows that President Biden was anything but an effective president.
Yes, I noticed that he was aging in terms of his physical condition. I noticed
aging.
That, he shuffled more.
That he
shuffled more.
Stumbling over words and gaffes than he did at the beginning of the term.
His rhetorical skills were not as strong as they had been, and his speeches were less effective, I thought.
We talked about age. We knew it was an issue, and we tried to design a strategy.
Get ready, Val!
We had a discussion at the senior advisor level about whether the president should have a cognitive exam.
Flashback now to the legacy media's complete denial of the president's cognitive decline.
Start your tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth. And F you if you can't handle the truth. This version of Biden is the best Biden ever.
His mental acuity is great. It's fine. It's as good as it's been over the years.
He is sharp. He is on top of things.
Do you regret saying that President Biden had a mental acuity? He had a sharpness to him.
I said what I believe to be true.
And you think he was as sharp as you?
I said I had not seen decline.
This is really pitiful. And KJP, we've been looking for this tape. She was asked about Biden and his decline and whether she was sorry about lying about it, and she just went into I'm a black queer woman, and the guy from the New Yorker, I mean, you couldn't be any more woke than a guy named Chotiner from the New Yorker. He goes, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be dense, but what the hell does this have to do with the price of tomatoes? Basically, that's what he said. Okay, here's a montage of the staff not knowing that he used the auto pen. Cut 18.
It was the people that knew he was cognitively impaired and that took over the auto pen. They stole the presidency of the United States.
Do you know who the people who were actually operated the auto pen were?
I do not.
Do you know any of the actual staff who were using the auto pen?
No.
You don't know their names?
No.
Have you never
Mr.
seen
X.
a decision memo laying out
Mr.
the
Big.
Breakdown of when the president should hand sign a particular set of documents?
Not prior to prep.
Did he hand sign all executive orders?
He did not. He hand signed many executive orders.
Many.
He did not sign hand sign all executive
How many?
Orders.
Can you read your response?
I approve the use of the auto pen for the execution of all the following important things. Jay-Z.
Did you yourself write this email?
I do not believe I did.
That auto pen was used excessively, and yet no one can say for certain that Joe Biden was given the orders to use the auto pen.
We've been pretty transparent from the very beginning with providing information as it occurs throughout this process.
That we anticipated that her report was going to come out and that we didn't feel an entire interview before the Super Bowl talking about classified documents was going to help the cause too much.
I think you can question the validity and the legality of those pardons and executive orders, and that's huge.
Can you imagine turning down an interview before the Super Bowl? That's the one. That's the one event that everybody in the country still watches every year, or most people do. And he couldn't handle it. And he was going to be with some Democrat Party fluffers on the networks. 844-500-4242. We'll take some calls when we come back. Fall is here, and it's only getting colder. My listeners know that when you want instant whole room warmth, you go with Eden Pure, a trusted name for years on this show. Now they've done it again with the Eden Pure Gen 40 Infrared Heater. This powerful compact unit gives you fast, even heat you can feel in seconds. No more cold, uneven heat, or dried out air. Infrared heat warms you directly, not just in the air around you. And it doesn't dry out the air. It's quiet, compact, and safe with multiple built-in safety shutoffs. And it heats up to 1,000 square feet, so it's perfect for the living room, bedroom, or office. You could even use the fan-only mode in summer for cool, comfortable airflow. And right now, Eden Pure is thanking our listeners with a special radio offer. The Gen 40 infrared heater sale price is currently $224. But Eden Pure is giving VIP Howie listeners an additional $50 discount, bringing the Gen 40 infrared heater to just $174. That's right, only $174 for a state-of-the-art infrared heater. But this is a limited-time offer with a strict limit of three, and supplies are moving fast. And once the snow starts falling, the price goes right back up. So if you want to stay warm and save money, you need to act now. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie50. That's EdenPureDeals.com, discount code Howie50. Order now before the price goes back up or they sell out. I'm Howie Carr.
Follow Howie on Instagram.
Yeah, hi, I'm a big influencer.
Howie Carr Radio Network.
Go ahead and check it out. Recipe in bio.
Howie Carr is back.
Today's poll question is sponsored by Raycon. It's Raycon's anniversary, and what better way to celebrate than with a deal on the Everyday Earbuds Classic. The Everyday Earbuds Classic are loaded with upgrades. I love my Raycons, and you'll love them too. Go to buyraycon.com/Howie to get 20% off the Everyday Earbuds Classic. Jared, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at HowieCarshow.com, is of the 42 million getting food stamps, how many do you think are really deserving? All of them, at least half of them, between 5 and 20 million, or fewer than 5 million?
Fewer than 5 million.
That is now up to 61%, 29% for between 5 and 20 million, 9% for at least half of them, and 1% for all of them.
All right. That 1% is holding steady. I don't know how many people have voted in the poll. I'm guessing about, that's probably around like less than 10 people. 844-500-4242, 917 says, during the Biden administration, there was a dark, nefarious figure roaming the halls of the White House. Nobody ever saw him. His name was Otto Penn. Any relation to William Penn, who last time I checked is still on the Quaker Oats box? Aunt Jemima's gone. Uncle Ben is gone, but William Penn still patrols the Quaker Oats box.
These are facts. So, check them out.
Sully, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Sully.
Hey, Howie, how are you?
Good.
Good. Hey, I was wondering, Healy and Campbell have sued Trump, what, 500 times? Is he under 700 over?
It might as well be 500 times.
All right, so how come they aren't suing to stop the food stamp shutdown?
I think, as actually someone texted me that they are trying to do that, but I don't think they're going to have any success there any more than they've had any success with anything else, Sully. I mean, why would you be suing someone for $200 million when you're sitting on almost $9 billion? I mean, it's kind of insane, isn't it?
You know the rules. We're Americans. We aren't foreigners. We ain't freeloaders.
I know. So we're not allowed to have anything good. The only ones that are allowed to have anything good are the illegal aliens. Thanks, Sully. James, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, James.
Thanks for taking my call, Howie. I appreciate it. When Doge was cleaning house the first time, me and my wife used to sit at dinner and watch all everybody break down because they were losing their benefits. So it's good to see season two. But I guess my comment was this be a perfect opportunity for the 50 million people or 43 million people if Trump got a prime time spot to explain what was going on, you know? And, you know, if you got 20 million to understand it and say, you know, this month I'm going to cover it, but after this, if the government doesn't open up, you know, it's all the Dems' fault. What do you think?
Well, but it is the Dems' fault now, James. You know, and several people have been saying, why doesn't he make a prime time address? Well, right now he's still in Asia. But, you know, when he gets back, I don't know what the point is. I mean, it's pretty clear that it's what the Democrats did. You want to see, this is really an outrageous sound cut. Pramila Jayapal, she's another one of these people. I don't think she was born in this country. Pretty sure she wasn't born in this country. But now she's a radical leftist from the state of Washington. And she's talking about how cruel it is that they are that they're going to have a no food stamps next month. Now, this is a woman who, unlike every single Republican and at least one Democrat in the House, and unlike every single Republican in the Senate, except for Rand Paul and a handful of Democrats, she voted to not fund the government. So she's the one who is taking the SNAP EBT food stamps money away from the non-working classes, her constituents. And yet she goes on MSNBC and she blames the Republicans for doing exactly what she did. The Republicans tried to stop it. She did it. And now she's blaming the Republicans. Cut four.
What do you say to those constituents who are worried about feeding their families?
Well, this is the most cruel thing that the Republicans have done since the shutdown started. 42 million people are on SNAP. That is basic food assistance. It is the most effective.
Then why did you vote against that
program that we have ever?
Why
had.
Did you shut it down, foreigner? Why did you? If you don't like it here, go back to India or wherever you came from. 844-500-4242, 917. Mass Republicans should propose changing the name of the Rainy Day Fund to the Hungry Day Fund. 860, didn't Biden serve with William Penn in the Pennsylvania legislature? He may have. 844-500-4242. Michelle, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Michelle.
Hey, Howie, how are you? Just a couple of quick points. Just what that caller said, it seems like a good idea maybe to put it out there in prime time, but I work in a small office that I won't name, and there's people around here that think Trump should have the 25th Amendment, and they just think Biden was the best president they've ever had in their life. So there's no getting through these people. And then do you ever watch Abby Phillips opposite Greg Gutfeld sometimes flip over?
No, I never do, but I watch the highlights with Scott Jennings. Okay.
Right. And she had that Nina Tandon, the advisory, Biden's advisor, that got subpoenaed. It's so hypocritical. She's on last night just bashing Trump, bashing his, you know, saying he should have the 25th Amendment. Yet no one calls her out. No one calls them out. It's so frustrating. I don't even watch them anymore.
I know. That's my problem. I can't watch them. I went crazy last night listening to Mamdani's father talk about how Abraham Lincoln was Hitler's mentor.
It's Howie Carr.
Last July 1st, there was a young UMass student, 21 years old, a rising senior at the business school at UMass Amherst, Eric Turpinian Jacob. and he was just walking on the streets of the District of Columbia for a late night snack, and some thugs, some young thugs, just opened fire. They were looking for a 16-year-old, and they shot a woman, the 16-year-old, and they killed Eric Tarpinian, murdered Eric Tarpinian Jacob. They fired 79 shots, these young punks, and ended Eric's young life. It was a terrible, terrible tragedy. And today would have been Eric Jacob's 22nd birthday, and we wanted to have on his mother, Tamara Jacob, to discuss the events, what's been going on lately with the case. There have been some arrests, but one of the thugs, young thugs, remains at large, and now he's been charged with another murder. Tamara Jacob, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show, and again, our deepest condolences for the death of poor Eric, his murder. And it would have been his 22nd birthday, and we just wanted to check in and see how are you holding up with the aftermath of this horrible murder.
Well, it's like, it is a horror show. It's horrible. You know, losing a child to homicide, an innocent victim, a good kid who wasn't involved in gangs or drugs. It's a shock to the system, and it really has ruined our family. It'll never be the same. You know, with that being said, getting that guy last week when I heard he was indicted, the third, I call him Monster, when he was indicted on 10 charges for my son killing him, premeditated murder in the first degree, or two of the charges, the other eight, I don't know. I felt a little relief, and now I'm just praying that they catch him. I didn't know that another girl, another kid was murdered at 17 years old. She was murdered July 4th at 5:15, and it's very, very sad that this happened. Two lives were taken, and, you know, others hurt.
So he was just randomly firing. He and these other two brothers, and then one other one, and then it's not enough that he just sprays 79 bullets randomly, kills one person, your son, and wounds two others. But then 4 days, 5 days later, he murders another young person, Zoe Kelly Hickman, apparently. And they're still searching for this guy. His name is Naquan, N-A-Q-W-A-N, Naquan Antonio Lucas, 18. And they haven't, they can't, where, do they have any idea where he might be, what area he might be in?
They don't tell you anything, and I can understand why. But the way I look at it, I wouldn't want to go down for this guy harboring a fugitive. I'd turn him in for the $75,000. I'd run, and I'd dial that number or text. This guy's a loaded cannon. He'll do it again, and he probably would do it to the people, whoever's harboring him, whether it's friends or family. That's my opinion.
And, 18 years old, and he's killed two people already. And
that we know of, Howie. We don't know. How many unsolved cases are there in Washington, D.C.?
So this guy, Naquan Antonio Lucas, his brother is also charged. The brother's name is Jay Lynn. He's in jail. Jay Lynn is in jail, I guess. And now, how many kids are in this family of the Lucases, where there's two of the brothers are charged with murder? How many kids are there in the family?
From what I understand, seven children, and they are in juvenile detention because of their age. They just turned 17, one April and one June, when they killed Eric. So, it's really, I can't believe it, from what I understand, that they've been known to family court in D.C., for heinous crimes, let out, let out, let out. The council made these woke laws, age 25 and under, you're considered a youthful offender, no matter if you're holding a gun, as long as you don't kill somebody with a gun. And now Massachusetts wants to do the same thing for 21 and under because their frontal lobes aren't fully developed, and let's kill them with kindness, basically, so they can go out and do heinous crimes like this. And if this is going to, and I know that some people, Dems, already voted for this in mass. Mrs. Jackson will be at the State House, because if you want to protect your kids, you don't want to be another D.C. And these kids have long track records from what Ms. Pirro said, Justice Pirro said on TV when the first two were caught. And it's disgusting. This should have never happened. And they, council and Mayor Bowser went in front of Mr. Comer, in front of committee, and they don't think they have a problem. They will not change their ways. And the Republicans were asking questions. I watched it for 6 hours, Howie. They were trying to work with these people, and the Democrats were too busy talking about Epstein files and tariffs and not even addressing what was on the table in front of Mr. Comer, Representative Comer.
Now
I was appalled. It was disgusting.
This Lucas family of seven people, is there a husband and a wife? Or who were the parents of these seven children, two of whom were accused of murder?
I have no clue. I don't know if there's a father involved or not, or a man in the house. I don't know. They don't, everything is just top secret. And I don't know. I just know that I didn't even know this was going in front of a grand jury till last week when I got the call on Thursday. And I am very, very grateful, and I'm sure Zoe's mother is too, that they, the grand jury, thought there was enough for to press charges on this guy.
But, some states and jurisdictions have changed the law. So if you commit a capital murder like was done to your son or to Zoe, you even if you're quote unquote a juvenile, they'll charge you as an adult. That's not the case in D.C. though, is it? I mean, these people are still going to be charged as juveniles, are they not?
I think so. I think that's how it works, except for the 18-year-old. I'm not positive. I know they're in juvenile detention right now, and from what I understand, once they hit it 18, if they are going to be held until trial, which we don't know till November 7th, then once they turn 18, they go into not the juvenile detention center, they go into jail. So I don't know all the specifics. I think that D.C. slammed, and the little information I get, I'm grateful for, and I don't know, but I pray to God that this man, this monster's caught, because if he's done it twice, more than likely he'll do it again. And I pray if they do find him that everybody stays safe. That's one thing.
We're speaking to Tamara Jacob. She's the mother of Eric Tarpinian Jacob, who was murdered in cold blood on the streets of the District of Columbia on July 1st. He would have been 22 years old today. Is there anything going on at UMass? Any of the proposals to commemorate his life and his time at UMass? Is anything going forward on that level, Tamara?
Yes, they have a scholarship set up for Eric at the Eisenberg. It will go to a Mass student. They're trying to raise $25,000 for that, so that every year they can give out money in his memory. We're supposed to get, and I'm going to talk with them next week. I couldn't do it this week because of his birthday. I'm just too shattered. But we will be getting his diploma, and they are putting a brick in the wall in his honor. And they wrote a beautiful piece in the paper about Eric. And in the UMass paper, and it was beautifully written, and we are very thankful for the UMass community. I have to admit, they've been very, very kind throughout this. I just wish my son was graduating in May like the other kids. It's so sad. He had such a future, my son, and
He was so kind. That's the thing. And even the people in D.C. said it was a horrific crime. The people that lived there and even the people in the news down there, all the news stations said it was one of the most horrific crimes. And my son got caught in the crosshairs walking onto the metro. And it's really, really sad. And then I found out there was another carjacking. People got beat again by DuPont, which was a mile away. This happened this weekend. That's where the Doge kid got beat up, carjacking again. Something needs to be done. And it's really, really upsetting that the council is the one who put these woke laws into effect. And people are getting killed and hurt from violent teens. And it needs to stop. And after committee with Comer, it really put it in perspective. They don't care. I mean, they just don't care. The Mayor Bowser, and I'll never forgive her for referring to my son as number 84. We only had 84 murders so far. Only if it was your son, Mayor, or your daughter who got murdered, you wouldn't feel the same way. To refer to my son as number 84, that was disgusting.
Now, what about Mara Healy was saying that she was going to try to work on setting up some kind of fishing tournament because Eric loved fishing with his father and other members of the family. Is there anything being done on that tomorrow?
Yes, we're working on that. Matter of fact, my son Jeremy was talking with me today. I have to contact him. He got the number for the gentleman. We're going to set up a meeting. We're planning to do it in April. When they do the stocking, and I'm hoping to get the UMass Extension 4-H Club because they can cook food, you know, like make hot dogs and stuff like that, and let them keep the money. And then we'll see. That's my goal, to get people out there, everybody, and from Eric's Fishing Club, the Agawam Rod and Surf Club, out there. And a matter of fact, his friends are going fishing this weekend up at Dartmouth College. They're going to fish off in the Connecticut River off the dock there behind the college. So they're fishing in his memory, which is very, very nice.
Tamara, I'm so sorry for you. And Eric seems like he was such a great kid. And you know, I know this is a sad day for you, his 22nd birthday and his graduation would be coming up. But thank you so much for being with us. And thanks for trying to get some justice for him and not just totally losing it in your grief, trying to keep it together. We admire your steadfast behavior since this has happened, and we wish you the best.
Thank you, and I'm happy. Thank you for having me on, because hopefully someone listening will go on the internet and look for this Lucas guy, see what he looks like, and you know, who knows. Word of mouth, and I appreciate that. We need to get this guy off the streets of D.C. or Virginia or Maryland, wherever he may be. So thank you for having me on.
Yeah. Someone said we should tweet it out. Jared, see if you can tweet out a mugshot of Naquan Antonio Lucas, 18. He's the perp who's still at large, and there's a $75,000 reward for turning him in. Wanted for 18 years old and wanted for two murders in 5 days in the month of July. Tamara Jacob, Eric's mother, thank you so much again for being with us.
Thank you, Holly, and you have a good day.
Thank you, Tamara. We're living at a time when lies are easy and the truth is costly. Nowhere is that more devastating than in the battle for life. That's exactly what Natalia faced. Her first reaction to her pregnancy was abortion, because that's the lie she had been told. But once she heard the heartbeat of her child, she knew that God wanted her to have her baby and that all things would be possible through him. Natalia chose life and was provided with the love, support, and the resources that she needed. At Preborn Network clinics, this happens on an average of 200 times a day because of the support from people like you. Moms who are overwhelmed and pressured suddenly see their child, hear the truth, and realize they're not alone. As abortion continues to rise, Preborn is expanding their life-affirming care in the darkest corners of our nation to help more hurting women and to save more babies. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $15,000 will place a machine in a needy woman's center, saving countless lives for years to come. Whatever you can give helps out. $28 provides for one ultrasound. Whatever you can give, please think about Preborn. Give now. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/Howie. That's preborn.com/Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr will return. Howie Carr is back.
Jared just tweeted out a mugshot of Naquan Antonio Lucas, age 18. Wanted for two murders in the space of 4 days in July. 844-500-4242. Robert, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Robert.
Yes, hello. Thank you for picking up the call, as always, with all your other listeners. But I had a question, if you don't mind me asking, about the new Proctor phone records, which haven't been released.
Yes.
But can the supervisors who took a pledge and all this other stuff, or whatever they're supposed to do, can they be held accountable for abetting bad behavior in just let this stuff fly, or can they be held responsible?
Well, I don't know. This is a good question. You know, because the other text messages that we got during the Karen Reed trial, he was on a text message chain with some of his high school buddies, and also with some of his state police fellow crooked cops. And one of the crooked cops lost 5 vacation days. It was a slap on the wrist, but it was because he didn't do anything about these nasty messages. This was Yuri Bukanik. He actually sent back a like emoji when Proctor said no nudes so far. So now, Robert, we find out that he had images. Proctor, according to Meatball Morrissey's office. So it's, you know, I mean, they got to be embarrassed, and they must be trying to get in front of this next latest scandal. He had images of intimate body parts of people not participating in the text chain. Well, Robert, wouldn't you think if any state police are on that text chain and he was sending around naked pictures of God only knows who, shouldn't they have stepped forward and said something, Robert?
You would think exactly. It also, like, somebody did something and you're hiding, somebody robbed a bank and you put him in your house. Not saying he robbed a bank. It could be worse than that. But if you, hide somebody from the prosecution, and that's what
right.
I'm thinking what they're doing. They hid his bad behavior.
They hid his bad behavior. And he also apparently made racist remarks about his fellow troopers. And sexist remarks. Well, we know he made sexist remarks about Karen Reed in the Medical Examiner. He made sexist remarks about other people.